Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome to this very special episode of TFL Car Chat. And today, we're in the garage, as you can tell by the echo, and we're going to answer one of the most daunting questions that has perplexed car lovers since the beginning of cars. Do you want performance or do you want power? And we've got two cars that I think represent attainable performance and attainable power because they're both around $45,000. So tell them what we got.
Yeah, this is starting price. So we have the 2024 Honda Civic Type R, and it is a little beast. And next to it, we have the 24 Ford Mustang with the Coyote 5 liter. It's the GT. Both of these vehicles are surprisingly very close in price. They only weigh a couple hundred pounds different than each other. But they are completely different in terms of how they deliver their power and what they actually do on the road.
So this is the newest version of the Mustang. It is the latest generation, and it is, the last of the real muscle cars left standing, right? The Camaro is gone.
Yep.
The Charger Challenger twins are gone.
Yep.
But we still have the Mustang. And to me, this represents attainable, in other words, affordable power.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just start with that right away before we get into everything else, because under the hood, Nathan, and I'm going to pop it right now, as soon as I can find where the latch is, there it is. Under the hood is a fire-breathing 5-liter Coyote V8 that puts out, get this, and this guy's because of the performance exhaust, 480 horsepower. That is mind-blowing for $45,000. Paired to a 10-speed automatic. You can also get it with the manual. We got it with the auto because, well, we have to resell it at some point.
Yeah, it's a funny thing because performance-wise, and I know a lot of you guys, and I'm right there with you, would say, well, performance is really depends on the driver. But honestly, if you're going in a straight line, the 10-speed will give you a much faster 0 to 60 time.
Yeah, I mean, do you remember when we were young men and the thought of 500 horsepower was only achievable in like supercars, Ferraris, Lamborghinis,
yeah.
And yet for $45,000, we have, you know, almost 500 horsepower. And for the new edition of the Mustang, they actually gave it dual throttle bodies. And the other cool thing about this is for a mere like $10,000, Ford sells a supercharger kit that boosts horsepower up to 800 and is factory warranted. So you could go crazy. I think 500 or 486 in this case is plenty, but if you really wanted to roast those rear tires, you could go more and have it be factory installed, well, actually dealer installed, but factory warranted.
Recently, the Ford Mustang had its 60th anniversary, and so they came up with a 60th anniversary Mustang. I actually went to the event in Charlotte, and that Mustang, very similar to this one, it's a 5-liter. They only do them with the 5-liter GTs. They don't do them with the EcoBoost. And that one gives you a couple specific colors that are very similar to the original colors. You can get it with convertible or the hard top. Some pricing, it just hasn't come out yet, but we know it's going to be a bit of a premium.
Like 60K.
Yeah, easily. Different wheels, stickers, stuff like that.
1,965 of them.
That's right, because they can't build 1,964 and a half.
No, the half.
Because they can't do the half.
Yeah.
So they have to do 1964.
But it would be cool if they tried.
It would be epic if they tried. Because I might be able to afford the half.
Before we get to that, let's finish with the Mustang.
Oh, there's a lot more to go to the
Mustang. Okay, yeah, there's a lot more here. So what do you think of the new styling? I mean, it's more of an evolution from the last gen than a revolution. What they did is they made the headlights a little bit more elongated, a little squintier. They made it a little bit more sharper.
Yeah, they squared it off quite a bit.
Yeah, and then, of course, it's got the cool, come on in the back here, Cole. We'll show you. It's got the cool turn signals, that are sequential. There's a little tiny spoiler because this isn't the performance model. So of course the lights, you know, they basically turn sequentially when you're using a turn signal, as are the fronts. And the coolest thing about our particular one that we actually bought, because we want to do a little bit of drag racing this summer, is this quad exhaust with an exhaust note that is, I think, the best I've ever heard.
It's one of the better ones out there. I will give it that.
Here, I'll make the neighbors upset. And
yeah,
I'll start
he's going to fire it up. But I'll stand. Let me stand back a little bit because you'll probably hear it better. I don't want to blow out the mic.
I can't, like, you know, flip the throttle because they'll come across.
Just turn it on. That's all you have to do.
I'll just turn it on.
They won't get mad about you turning it on.
No. Okay, here we go. Just turning it on.
Yeah, you blipped it anyway. Such a child.
If our neighbors come.
Can I show you my favorite part of the car?
Yeah,
it's
of course.
Although it looks great. I do like the way the styling is, but they pulled off this design here with the way they pulled out the rear fender and then were able to blend it in with this fastback design and yet keep what I think is the quintessential design of Mustang. So it's similar to what Camaro did. Not at all similar to what Challenger's like. And I love this. I love this section of the car. It's just, I want to slap it. It's so good.
Now, in terms of utility, because we got to go there, Nathan.
Pop that trunk.
It's actually not awful. I'm going to pop the trunk for you.
Pop the thimble.
So it actually has seats that you can fold forward.
So if you're listening to this right now, Roman has just opened a trunk, which can hold a helmet. And possibly his little cup of tea that he drinks on the daily.
Absolutely not. This trunk, look how deep that is.
Relatively deep.
You could crawl in there if I folded the seats forward, and you could put a bicycle in there. You could put a bicycle. You'd have to take the front wheel off, but that's how deep and spacious it is.
Roman, I was told by Mustang freaks that if you fold down the rear seats, there is enough space for you to have four track tires and a jack in this car with one driver.
Yeah,
I don't know if the jack would be in the front seat next to the driver.
It's surprisingly roomy, unlike the rear seats, which are not.
No, the rear seats are terrible, but this is not built for a family of four. This car, the rear seats are sort of an afterthought with extra storage, or if you desperately need to bring your friends.
I'm not even going to try to get back there. Why don't you fold that seat forward, Cole, so you can sell them the rear
Poor
seats.
Poor Cole, you're going to make him do three things at once. Cole, I am reaching forward and doing this for
you. Thank you, Nathan. And then you can see that there is room. I mean, it's bigger than like a Porsche 911. So I think
it's better than a Porsche 911.
Yeah, it is better. Like a 10-year-old could probably sit back there comfortably. Mm-hmm. The problem is headroom.
Yeah, headroom is terrible, so you'd be leaning forward if you're tall. And then in order for anybody, a human, to actually sit back there, whoever's in front of you would have to pull the seat forward. But we know that about GT cars like this.
Yeah, and then let's talk about the interior. I'm going to get the light over here, and we can talk about the switchgear, and we can talk about kind of the part, I think, that lets it down
You're right there with you. The interior design is kind of generic. It's not very inspiring.
It's a sea of black and gray to start with. So we have these seats that are half leather and half cloth, and actually they're very comfortable.
Yeah, the front seats are great.
But then there are things in here that are crazy cost cutting. So we talked about price, and we'll talk about price on the Civic when we get to it. But this was about $49,000, and then because we bought it in the middle of winter, we got $5,000 off.
Yeah. Now, Roman, I wanted to talk about that real quick. This is an important topic. Did we get that price because we're TFL?
No. Okay. We just got it because we bought it in the middle of winter in Colorado. Right. Nobody buys cars.
Just want to throw this out there. We almost always pay MSRP. We never pay above it. And we also do not take handouts from automakers, which some people have said we do.
No.
We bought this with our cash.
No, we don't get paid to review cars. That's crazy. We're not influencers, Nathan. We're journalists. But let me show you the things I like about it. So big, fat steering wheel.
Steering wheel is great.
Very comfortable to hold on to. Obviously, plenty of headroom, especially here in the front seat. Plenty of legroom, a real shifter, which is nice. But then look over here, like the little PRNDM next to the shifter. That's not even lit up, Nathan. That is just stenciled on.
Yeah, I mean, someone with a whiteout paintbrush could have done that.
Exactly. And then over here, we have a pretty good size screen, but most of the infotainment is in the screen. You do have some hard buttons, so you do have a volume knob, which is nice, but most of it is in here. It works pretty well. We don't have the fancy one that connects both screens, but we do have two screens. The coolest thing about it is you can actually change The screen layout. And the way you do that is you go into the Mustang
recently
button.
We got an update. Are you going to bring that up?
Yeah, so you go into the custom theme, and then if you look over here, Cole, let me shut the door here so I show you what this does. Okay, let me go, okay. Okay. All right, so right now it's a normal. I'm going to change it to sport. So now the gauges turn into kind of these more linear instead of round. Then you can go to track, which changes the gauges again to a very linear setup. And then you can go to calm, which is, very minimalist. And here's the two cool ones. We got it with the Fox Body 87 through 93 display, so that's very 80s.
It looks a lot like the original Fox Bodies.
Yeah, you've got these very 80s dials and green numbers. And then they just added for the 60th anniversary this classic 67 and 68 Mustang gauge cluster, which looks like the one out of our California special that we have. And that's pretty cool.
Now, I rarely give you credit when you deserve it, Roman, because that's just how I am. But Roman, about a year ago, was saying one of the cool things that he was hoping for was that auto companies would bring those screens to vehicles. So if you had to pay a subscription fee or something, maybe that would be something to look forward to. The best part here is that this was an over-the-air update that I believe was completely free. Am I correct?
Yeah, I mean, I would pay for it probably, but it was nice that Ford didn't make you pay for it.
Yeah.
And then we've got heated seats, which is nice. Ironically, we don't have adaptive cruise control, which is weird. And we have lane centering right there. And we have cruise control, but we don't have adaptive cruise control. And to me, lane centering and adaptive cruise control seem like they go together, but for some reason, Ford separated it.
They're not the only car company to do that either,
yeah,
by the way.
No, but it's stupid, because you're on the highway, and the car is, basically steering for you on the highway. You still have your hands on it, of course. It's not a level 3 system. And then you'll run into the back of a truck if you're not paying attention.
Well, come on. I mean, that's been cruise control for the past 50 years,
yeah,
or 60.
Come on, Ford. You can add adaptive cruise control to this as well. But otherwise, I just love the sound of it. I love how comfortable it is. I think this would be a super car to take across country. It'll just, crank along. And it actually gets really good gas mileage. I'm getting 21.2 right now, but that's because I've been driving around town. If you take this on the highway, you're going to get like easily mid-20s, if not high 20s, right? Because it's barely turning over 2,000 RPM.
Yeah, that's it, just lopping along.
Yep, yep. So I think all in all, the last muscle car standing is a good one. And one of the reasons we bought it was just for that reason, right? We've owned a Hellcat. We've never owned a Camaro. But, TFL, we have to own an American muscle car. That's just part of what we do.
Yeah, for now, as long as this thing is built. Now, Ford before said that this would be the last Mustang with a gas V8. But it's possible.
It may
change. Maybe it'll become a hybrid. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know if I'm looking forward to that or not, honestly. So let's move on.
Yep, let's talk about the new and redesigned Type R, which came out maybe about a year ago. Give or take.
Now, I'm touching a vehicle that our producer, Zach, would probably eliminate my arm from about here if I leaned on the car. He adores this thing. I think he licked all the door handles, too.
It might be true. The thing about the Type R and the Mustang is they're both blue, but the Mustang is kind of a dark Ford blue, whereas the Type R is this beautiful...
It's kind of a lighter, almost turquoise blue. This blue has become very popular recently.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of automakers are using it, and rightfully so. I think it looks great.
I want to say Jaguar calls it Barcelona blue. Porsche has a version of it. It's this very light, kind of very punchy blue.
Yeah, it really stands out. It kind of makes it look like a toy almost. Now, you may be curious about this vehicle. This is pretty much the only way it comes. So 6-speed manual transmission, there is no automatic, although I hear rumors that they may be playing with a dual clutch. Guys in the comments below, if you know anything about that, let me know. But let's pop the hizzle.
And probably the biggest difference, of course, between the two of them is the Type R is a Civic four-door, whereas the Mustang is not.
No, and also the Type R is front-wheel drive, Mustang is rear-wheel drive, and there's no compromise here in terms of one has, a all-wheel drive system or, I am totally standing on Cole's foot.
And you know what's cool? They both have functional, you can see.
Yeah.
Air scoops.
It's air scoops, which is really a little bit more for heat, I believe.
Dissipation.
Because that's where the air goes in over there on the lower right-hand corner. So 315 horsepower. Four-cylinder turbo, it's a 2-liter. This is one of the more powerful powertrains that Honda makes. They made no bones about how they were going to build this. According to them, this is faster than the previous Civic Type R. It manages heat better, and supposedly it is just as efficient, or even slightly more efficient. 310 pound-feet of torque, hooked up to one of the best six-speed manual transmissions I've ever experienced in a front-wheel drive car.
Yeah, you know,
it's a fantastic.
I was driving this today and immediately was struck just how fun it is to drive. This is one of those cars, it's the exact opposite of the Mustang, right? The Mustang, you want to sit back, you want to crank that exhaust note,
and
crank
on the
skinner, put your hand on the outside of the door and just sit back and just cruise. This thing wants to dance, dude. This thing, it's like a racehorse that is just dying to get out of the gate.
This angry terrier is, I think, the way some people would put it. And I actually have a good analogy for later on that I'll go to. It's a whole story that I'll bring up to you guys.
I'll tell now.
Okay, I'll tell it right now. So I'm going to stand. For those of you who are listening, I am standing between what I think are two of the best cars for fun. Fun is the most important thing to me in terms of driving. So if you look at these cars in terms of music, right? And I love music. Roman knows this. I recently went to a concert for Adam Ant. He's a guy from the 80s, for those of you who don't know. Had a couple of hit songs there. Really fun show, but a little sad because I was looking back at the past. And the back of the past is exactly what both of these vehicles do, because the Civic Type R actually has a bit of a history. It goes back a couple decades. And Mustang obviously goes back 60 years.
Yeah, first of all, it was a European only, right? We didn't ever
We didn't even have the original one.
Yeah.
And the original Civic Type R, the first couple generations of those things, were really the only other hot hatch I could think of that would obviously dwarf it in terms of popularity with the GTI from Volkswagen. But then the next car I'd always think of is the Civic Type R. Ridiculously fun even back in the day. And made sense, economical, a lot of fun, very similar in my mind to 80s and 90s music, right? Because it had just a lot of brio, fun, flash, and everything else. Not a lot of depth. Then you look at the car that's 60 years old, Ford Mustang, and it's another one that has a lot of music in it.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Cars and music just work together. This one, I think of classic rock, southern rock, heavy metal, yeah, you know, stuff like that. What's interesting about both these vehicles, though, is that their history, I think, is a little bit more interesting than perhaps the vehicles that they're currently representing. These are great cars, don't get me wrong. But what's cooler on the street, a 1965 Ford Mustang or this one? What's cooler on the street, especially with tuners, the original Type R or this one? Something about their past makes people very passionate, but it's also very sad. Here's an interesting story. A young reporter named Roman Micah goes over to a Cheap Trick concert.
I did, yes.
And interviews, I believe, the costumer lady.
Yes, who was Czech.
Who?
Let me set the scene, Nathan.
Oh, yeah, set the scene.
I was in Rockford, Illinois. I was a TV reporter. It was a weekend story that I went to. So I went to the county fair.
Right.
And Cheap Trick, an Illinois band actually, was playing at the county fair.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, it's Rockford, Illinois. It's not exactly New York.
Yeah.
So I got to go into the trailer where Cheap Trick was getting ready for the concert. And there was a lady there who was ironing their leather pants. That's and I start talking to her, and she's like, has this accent. I'm like, are you Czech? And she says, yes, I'm Czech. Because I'm Czech, so we started kind of...
Of course, doing their Czech talk.
We did, yeah.
Which is, it's always freaky for people who've never heard it before. It's a bizarre language. Anyway, the point I'm getting to is, it's a little sad when former rockers, you know, or older rockers, you listen to them, you watch them. They may be really good on stage and everything else, but don't you have a little bit of like sad nostalgia when you're like, oh, well, what they used to be in the past and how vibrant they were, and now they're old, and it makes you feel old and a little bit displaced. I mean, don't you feel that way?
Yeah, I feel that way, like watching the Stones now. I mean, you know,
Mick Jagger's 80 years old.
I know, it blows my mind. And I just saw him on SNL, and he was starting to look a little bit like he's 80 years old. And why it makes you sad is because you know you're also going there.
Yeah, but that's exactly my point. So these cars, as awesome as they are, make me a little bit sad. because I know that this is as good as it's gonna get. I remember the past, how awesome and cool they were, how fresh they were. And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I'm old too. So it's kind of the music thing.
That's baggage that me and you are carrying out.
Ah, but see, I think
Cole
we're not the
have
only
that baggage.
Ones.
You know, to him, these are fresh new vehicles, right? Because he was, and let's face it, dude,
Cole's 9 years old for
I wasn't around in 65 and a half when, you know, at least I wasn't old enough to even appreciate anything when this thing came out. So I don't feel all that sad. I feel pretty happy that we have both in the garage, and they make me very happy driving them. And
they make me happy driving them too.
But I see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
I kind of tune that part of my brain out.
Yeah, I look at it all the time. Anyway, if you guys are curious, I definitely think that the Civic is way more punk rock and the Mustang is classic rock. That would be like the simplest way to categorize
techno.
It.
Huh? This is more techno. I think
EDM, they don't know how to drive stick if they're the EDM. They're all out of drive automatics.
All right.
No, this is punk rock.
So from the previous generation, what Honda did was they toned it down a little bit. The previous generation was very boyhood racer, right?
Yeah, with all the extra wings and extra crap they had on the back.
All the different lines going.
Yeah.
And I went on the launch of that, I took it on the track, and all that, you know, according to Honda, paid dividends in terms of aero.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, you know, because you got to go pretty quick to get aero. But to me, the sportiest thing about the Type R is, of course, the classic red Honda badge.
That's cool, but also the big bulges in the front and rear fenders. Bear in mind that this vehicle, not a lot of it shares components with the Civic. You'd think that it just has fatter tires. Now, in order to get those fatter tires in there, they actually had to make this thing stand out. So it's got bigger shoulders, and those tires are mighty wide for a little car.
But it's a little bit of a mixed message. So you've got this kind of very sporty car that has four doors.
Yeah.
The four doors kind of take away from that.
Well, they do and they don't. So here's, and also that's a hatchback, my friend.
I know that's a hatchback. I was going to show them.
But see how utilitarian that is. Compare that to the Mustang.
Of course. This is, I mean, hell, you've got, you know.
Tommy and his wife could camp in here.
They could, if she could stand the ride and the noise.
It's not that bad. And that is a split that is a 40-60 split folding rear seat, which is also very utilitarian.
It is a Civic underneath, of course.
It is a Civic underneath. But one of the things they managed to do, which I am very happy for Honda, is that they did not compromise the rear area by putting like large struts in here. Everything is underneath the car. You remember some of the other cars out there, performance ones. This whole area has been taken up, or a lot of it's been taken up, by extra components in order to make it stiffer.
And you know, at the end of this podcast, I want to make you choose one. You know that.
You already know which one I'm going to choose, I bet.
I don't know, but I'm curious. What do you think of the triple exhaust pipes?
Okay, so I think that's a kind of a gimmick.
Yeah, I'll start
because the center thing, yeah, start it up.
I'll start it up, too.
And don't blimp it, which means blip it.
Well, this one you could blip.
I think it sounds amazing.
All right, here we go. I'm starting her up.
Yep. You know, it doesn't sound great in here. It sounds better outside when you're really pushing it at high RPM. But it's fine. Yeah, not as impressive as the Mustangs, obviously. Only half the cylinders of the Mustang. Also better efficiency than the Mustang, big surprise. You want to show them the interior? Oh, I wanted to show them this. I think this is really cool. Look at this.
Yeah, now Nathan is pulling a little cover for the back of the hatch.
But instead of pulling it, instead of pulling it from, say, the front of the car back, I'm pulling it from the side. I just think that's really novel.
It's so cute.
It's just a really cool idea. So, and you know, obviously, you know, not everybody wants a storage cover, and this thing, I believe, is detachable. Let's look at the interior, shall we?
Yeah, you know what I'm gonna make you do? I'm gonna make you sit in the back. Because you're a big boy.
What did I do to anger you?
Yeah, you get to, because you made me sit in the front of the Mustang.
That's the front of a Mustang.
Dude, I'm being kind.
All right, fine.
Because I'm going to sit in the front, and you know what that is like.
Oh, yeah, that's true. All right. Not the easiest car to get into, especially with... Oh, I'm going to leave this open.
Yeah.
Especially with the fact that these seats here are kind of solid, right? So they don't really move out of your way. But once I'm in the car... Now, I'm 6'1". I have a tall torso. If I'm leaning forward, my head has plenty of room and I do slouch, I'm an ape. But if I lean back like this far, which is basically sitting straight, then my head is rubbing against the roof. So that is something to keep in mind. Something else, and this is one big detractor. Look here. This is a cup holder where a third booty should be. In other words, this is only built for four people. I've been told that the reason why has to do with weight distribution, safety, a few other things. I don't know. I don't buy any of it. I don't think this cup holder should be here. I think that it should have a seat here in case it's an emergency and you need to carry a fifth person.
I think lower trims of this, you can't get a back seat for three, right?
Yeah, for the regular Civic, yeah. And I believe the Civic Si, you can get just a regular back seat.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a second. So why don't you hop out and I'll get in the front seat, which is actually more of a penalty box in some ways.
Sure you don't want to stay here while you go there?
Yeah, you want to stay in there?
Yeah, sure, because I think you won't have to put the seat back very far and I'll still sit behind you.
So look at the bolsters, right? And this has always been a problem for me.
Yeah, so those giant bolsters, now they are better than they were before. I think they were even harder before. Yeah. But those bolsters are basically part like racing seat.
Yeah, they do bend a little bit.
They have more give than they did before, but man, are they uncomfortable to get through.
Yeah, you got to get over them. It's like those BMW seats with the little cup.
Oh, I can't stand that. That's even worse than these, though.
Yeah.
So. Now, you can back the seat up probably 2 inches, and I'd be all right. And Roman is ridiculously tall at over 6'2". I think you're close to 6'3", aren't you?
I'm 6'2". Andre's 6'3".
Andre's 6'3".
I'm 6'2", heading to 6'1", I fear.
Well, we all are shrinking, aren't we?
Yeah. So I'm just gonna power it up here for a second.
Okay,
so
now you're looking at one of the problems. If the camera is right next to the screen,
I know I'm gonna start.
That screen is a 9-inch screen. Now I don't really care that it's on the small side. Personally speaking, I think it's more than usable. But a lot of people out there are really ticked off about the fact that it's not like a 12.3-inch screen or some massive screen like that. Now I'm sitting behind you very comfortably, by the way, Roman. Honestly, I am.
Yeah. So. Big old fat steering wheel with French red stitching. I like mm-hmm. that. I like these little new honeycomb design.
Yeah, and there's other vehicles that have that too.
Yeah, I love this little like billet metal shifter. Really easy to shift. I mean, this is one of the best shifting cars ever.
It's just that the throws are perfect.
Now we have different drive modes, which I can't turn them on.
I think if you're in accessory mode, you might be able to shift through that.
I am in accessory mode. I have to start it. We get poison in the garage, Nathan.
It's fine.
Okay.
We only have a couple of videographers to worry about.
Yeah, if all of a sudden the camera falls and
you know what happened.
So, come on. So we have, give me the different modes. There we go. For God's sakes.
You have to hit the do not show me again.
This is, and you know, Honda was one of the companies that got caught selling data to insurance companies. And then people got their insurance jacked up because they were selling data. So you've got normal mode, that's comfort. Then you can go to sport, then you can go to individual.
Okay,
and
now.
Then you got this R Plus.
Yeah, so that's which is track.
Yeah.
So you don't need you can shut the car off if you want. So here's the thing about all those. That makes no difference in the suspension setting. From what I understand, that there's no pressure difference or anything like that. But it does make a difference in terms of how the engine runs. And I believe it changes the sensitivity of the throttle. I don't know about steering input, but I do know that the steering setup on this car is damn close to ideal for any sports car, much less the fact that it's a front-wheel drive sports car. It is one of the best handling cars I've driven, period. And I've driven Aston Martins, I've driven Lamborghinis. I'm telling you that this car, for what it is, bear in mind, it gives you so much control and such excellent feel of the road. When you're throwing it around corners, it is absolutely transparent in terms of what it's doing. Old BMWs remind me of this.
Yeah, I mean, for a front-wheel drive car, it's pretty magnificent.
I can't think of a better one.
In terms of its steering inputs, it's like almost telepathic ability to connect with your brain when you're carving corners. The lightness of the shifter, the power of the brakes, and the modulation of the brakes, it does it all right.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this little thing. That's a nice little touch where you actually have a little serial number.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. My only complaint, real complaint, and I think yours as well, is the fact that the seats for old men like us are just not very comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, definitely this is designed for a younger generation of people. But once upon a time, Nathan, these were relatively affordable. Do you have the Monroney on you?
I do indeed.
All right, let's look at the Monroney.
Okay, so keep in mind that this one, I think, does have a couple features on it. So the starting price is $44,750 or $795. This one comes out at $46,345. So I'm showing the sticker right there.
What's the fuel economy?
It's 24 miles per gallon combined. So that's 2228, which you may say for a four-cylinder, that's not great. But remember, this thing is a fire-breathing four-cylinder. And this car ain't light. It ain't exactly what I would call built for economy. If you want that, you get a Prius. It doesn't have low rolling resistant tires, right? It doesn't have the aerodynamics to make it slippery. It has aerodynamics to help push it down, so when you throw it around a corner, it's actually got maximum grip. Very different car.
Now let's talk about what this competes with. I said that the Mustang used to compete with, of course, the Camaro and the Charger Challenger twins, which are both at least...
They're all gone.
Yeah, at least in their current form.
Yeah.
You know, we got the Charger coming back as an electric car, but this obviously doesn't compete against the Mustang in typical terms.
No, and a lot of you, yeah, and for those of you who didn't bother listening to the podcast itself or watch it, you probably have already written your comments saying, those two cars don't compete. Yes, we know. But it really is something like, okay, if you have just under 50 grand, you want to get yourself a daily driver that is something that makes you extraordinarily happy, that has incredible performance. These two cars are at the top of the list.
Yeah, so this would compete with, of course, other hot hatches. The one that comes to mind is the Golf R.
Yeah, this would go...
a little bit more mature.
GTI.
GTI.
This would go against the GTI and the Golf R, actually. It would take on both of them. This also goes up against the WRX and the STI. Its track times are up there with those cars, in some cases even better. In some cases even worse, I know, for those of you who are, you know, fans. Really, there's very few cars that will altogether completely outperform this thing. It is really good.
I have a question for you, because you just went on this program.
Yeah.
And it actually does sort of kind of compete with this. So you just went on the Hyundai N.
Yeah, so...
The Ioniq 5N.
That's correct. And also Elantra N as well. I drove both of those cars.
So that is also a four-door hot hatch. That's all electric, and you drove that on the track. How does, and I've driven this on the track, and like I say, there are very few cars that could keep up with this thing, let alone pass it. But how does the Ioniq 5N compare?
They're completely different cars.
Yep.
Because you're talking about just everything from size difference to obviously having weight differences.
It's a bigger car.
Yeah, it is a much bigger car. It's also got that heavy battery underneath. It's probably close to 1,000 pounds heavier than this thing, I'd imagine.
And more expensive, right?
Yeah. That thing's probably got about 20 grand on top of this, realistically. Maybe 15 if you somehow got a shaved down model. But the Ioniq 5N was really built to be the first fun electric car. It really is. It is a fun electric car. It's got some silly gimmicks to it, but they're fun gimmicks. And
like you can make it shift?
You can make it shift, which basically just interrupts power. So you're just shutting off power and then bringing it back, you know, in a millisecond. But it really does make you feel like it's shifting through gears. And you can actually play with fake gears, I think up to 8 of them. And then it also has a fake engine note. And all those things, one's completely synthetic. However, for some people like me, who, you know, a little brain, I felt it kind of made the experience a little bit more involved and fun. And at the end of the day, honestly, I haven't driven too many electric cars that really make me feel like it's fun. Yes, some of them are fast, but this one was kind of fun. And it reminds me a little bit of the Type R because it really has tenacious grip and it was a really, you know, just a really good track car.
But it is all-wheel drive.
It is all-wheel drive and it's an electric car, so it's a completely different vehicle. However, I drove this car's direct competitor to a certain degree, and that would be the Elantra N. And the Elantra N is an excellent car. It really is very good. However, I think this looks better.
Yeah, it's probably more dialed in. I felt like the Elantra, and I've driven it as well, is sporty, it's quick, but this feels like it's got more track time.
Yes, and yes, and also the Elantra N is, first of all, a sedan. This is a hatch, so this has more utility. And the Elantra N, unlike this car, offers both a manual transmission and a dual clutch. This does not yet offer anything other than the manual transmission. So that's one of the things that makes it different. I believe also the Elantra N is a little bit more of a bargain, but this thing should kill it in most ways. But that Elantra N is still a very good car.
Now, there's another car that this does compete with in price and from, you know, a cross-town competitor, the Toyota Corolla GR.
Oh, that's a whole different vehicle.
And I just got back from driving that on ice with Tommy.
It's a beast.
That's a beast. It's... all-wheel drive, which of course is different than front-wheel drive, but in terms of price, they do compete. I think probably both of these vehicles carry at least a $10,000 market adjustment just because they're so popular. And it's funny because, you know, I've been talking to some of your favorite YouTubers out there, and they seem to have all gone for the Type R in terms of their personal vehicles? Because I know like five YouTubers that actually have owned these or have gotten them, whereas I don't know as many who have gotten Toyota GR.
And I would agree with you.
And it could be because of availability.
I think that's it. But I get where you're going with this. Just like the Subaru WRX, if either of those two cars, the Corolla GR or the Subaru WRX, were on a loose surface or any other type of surface other than absolute asphalt, they would absolutely murder this thing. Bottom line, this is only built for asphalt. That's it. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, I believe around a track, most people will say that this is actually quicker than the GR around an actual race circuit, but not by a huge margin. They're very close. I think the GR might be heavier too, which would make sense.
Because of the all-wheel drive. But yeah, they both have around 300 horsepower. The one thing I will say about this is a much nicer interior. I mean, the Corolla GR is still a Corolla, and there's a real sense of cost-cutting when you get into it, so there's a lot of
plastic. I'm more comfortable in this than the Corolla, that I can say.
There's a lot of plastics. Mm-hmm. There's a lot.
Well, there is in this too, but not as much.
Right, but this feels like, you know, upscale. This feels a little bit like it's been integratized, if that makes sense. Well, of course, the Integra would compete directly with the Civic Si, because that's what it's based on if you want an automatic Civic Si. But in terms of kind of its fit and finish and quality, the Integra is very similar to the Type R.
Yeah, the Integra has a prettier interior with nicer feeling seats. Actually, if they managed to take the Type R powertrain and put that into the Integra, which I hear they may be doing, I would say that that might be the, like, the perfect balance.
Yeah, you can get kind of a little bit more of that maturity.
And better seats.
And better
seats. More comfortable seats. Well, I should say more comfortable.
Yeah, less sporty seats.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if you're living in Europe, there's a whole bunch of competitors. You guys get the Yaris.
The Copra,
whatever the hell that is, the Skoda. But there is a GR Yaris, which is a smaller version of the Corolla, obviously, which we don't get. Mm-hmm. And all the Europeans, at least the guys I've talked to, have said that we're lucky to get the Corolla because it's much bigger. Same powertrain, just much bigger, much more
comfortable, I hear.
Yeah, much more utility.
Mm-hmm.
Are we forgetting any other cars that this directly competes with, Nathan?
Oh, well, there are definitely some other cars. You're talking about European market or local market?
Let's start with local. What am I forgetting?
Okay, well, local market, Hyundai no longer builds, and then, well, you could also buy Kia, but Hyundai no longer builds the, whatchamacallit, the
Veloster.
That would have competed with this, the N.
Especially the N, yeah. The
yeah. So going from the top of the list down, let's see, Audi, no. Audi doesn't have anything fun anymore,
and
that's
the,
small.
And they're also premium. I mean, the A3 sort of, kind of, but did you have to go to the R3 or is it RS3?
I guarantee you this thing will beat it.
And it's going to be more expensive.
Yeah.
5-cylinder turbo in that vehicle.
Yeah. So Nissan does not have anything that would currently race this.
Well, we just reviewed the Sentra SR.
Yeah, sorry, that's not quite there. Yeah.
No, remember the old one? What was the old one? The S.
The SER.
Yeah, that would have competed against it once upon a time.
If you had gone back in time, but it was, this thing is a powerhouse by comparison.
Mitsubishi Evo gone.
Gone. Yeah, yeah. And their Eclipse is now an Eclipse Cross, which essentially is a SUV with a CVT.
And Mazda, maybe the Miata, but it's cheaper. And it's,
the Miata won't touch this thing on a track with 0-60. But handling the Miata is still one of the most neutral cars in the world. This, however, I think is a better track car, just as it sits.
Yeah.
I think I'll go around a track, even with my ham-fisted driving, faster in this than a Miata. And
both
I
really
think...
Fun. Well, it's also convertible, so I mean.
I know, but you can get the the hardtop version of it, and that one
RF,
that's it, which is heavier.
Yeah.
And it's not as accommodating. This is a much more comfortable car.
Get the manual top; it won't break 10 years from now.
Although the hardtop looks cool, I gotta admit.
It does look cool, but it's not gonna fit either of us. So let's face it.
Yeah.
All right, so that's Mazda. Like we talked about Mitsubishi, they don't have anything.
Nope. Mercedes, I guess technically speaking, they're little guy.
Yeah, but all those are going to be premium cars.
Oh, they're almost twice the price.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are ridiculously
CLA,
expensive.
Yeah, it's going to be much more
They're all the AMG more. Versions. Yeah, you know,
much
and,
more expensive.
Yeah, yeah. And around the track, once again, this thing would probably give them a run for their money. You know, the there's not much else out there. So if you're looking at Volvo and
GM would have had the Camaro.
That's gone.
I hear it might be coming back.
Oh, well, yeah, as an electric car, probably. And they'll probably make it a damn SUV, honestly. I'm not even kidding. I wish I were. Yeah, we already talked about Ford. Ford has nothing else but the Mustang that would compete against it. Some of you guys are probably saying electric cars. Yeah, there are some electric cars that would be faster than this, but around the track, I don't think any of them, for going like a proper track day, they would have five hot laps. This would have 20.
Once upon a time, the Focus RS, of course, would it.
That thing was such a great car. The RS and the, what was the other one?
ST.
The ST.
Yeah.
The ST I really liked. That was.
I remember those days when we had actually like economy, you know, hot hatch wars. So like when the ST competed directly against the SI and the RS competed directly against the Type R.
That was pretty, those were pretty
those
cool
days. Those were the glory days for hot hatches.
Yeah. Well, Ford pulled completely out of cars in the United States. So, I mean, other than the Mustang, we've got nothing. And that's just the way it is. That's right. Just part of the deal.
Well, before we overheat, let's hop out and talk about the different versions that you can get in both these cars, because both of them come with different powertrains, Nathan.
Well, actually, and you know something very interesting about the Mustang is that the Mustang has a powertrain that's very similar to this powertrain. Yeah.
Four-cylinder turbo.
Yes, that's right. And their output's the same with horsepower.
Yeah.
That four-cylinder, and I've driven it, it's brilliant. I think that the EcoBoost version of the Mustang is one of those overlooked cars. I know all you guys want the growl. I do too.
Well, even the six-cylinder was great, but that's gone.
Well, by comparison, it's just, why have a six-cylinder when you have an over 300 horsepower four-cylinder?
Yeah, well, the six-cylinder was also 300.
Yeah, but that's the, why have two?
Yeah.
So
the problem is the Mustang is so iconic with a V8. Right, ever since the,
but not everybody could afford it.
Even though back then, right, you did have different engine choices, but still, remember that we also have a California special from 1968,
mm-hmm.
Which has a 289. It's just become like peanut butter and jelly. I mean, I was shopping for, we had a 2014 Mustang,
mm-hmm.
which has the original version of the powertrain, the Coyote 5-liter.
Yeah.
And when I was shopping for it, the difference, Nathan, between the 6 and the EcoBoost 4-cylinder and the V8 is like $10,000 on the used market, if not more.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that, but I will say this. Now, first of all, a lot of people tend to forget this is not Ford's first attempt at selling a turbocharged four-cylinder. They had the Mustang SVO, which was one of my favorites, by the way, which was from the 80s, and a friend of mine who I went to high school with had one. It was black, and it was fast. It was actually faster than the GTs that were in the neighborhood. This is, you know, going back to, once again, mid-80s. And it was a proven quantity, the shape of this car, the weight of this car with that type of power. This thing puts out, if you get the four-cylinder turbo, EcoBoost, about 315 horsepower, which is the same as this Honda, but it's not as high strung. And unfortunately, you can no longer get it with the manual transmission. If you get the base model four-cylinder turbo, it has to come with the 10-speed automatic transmission, but it's still 0 to 60, we're talking the 6-second zone. I mean, it's fast.
So let's talk about that while we're there. You know, when we bought this, I bet you the first 20 comments were, boo, you didn't get the convertible. You didn't get the, not the convertible, you didn't get the manual.
Yeah,
and
we're not men.
Yeah, and I think there is now almost a built-in lust and love for manuals because they're going away. And so even in the used market, manuals always carry a higher premium than automatics.
Depending on the car, yes.
Depending on the car, yeah. The argument I would make is when I was a kid, right, a manual had a bunch of advantages. First, it was cool, which it still is. Mm-hmm. So you felt like you were more part of the machine.
You were more part of
the machine. Yeah, you had more control of it. You were more kind of in touch with it.
Yeah, larger cojones.
But more importantly, it was quicker than the automatic.
Back then.
Remember the 3 and 4-speed automatics? Those things were
They're dogs by comparison.
Yeah, you'd be like, come on, shift. And we had that C5 Corvette, which was, because of the automatic. And they were also more fuel efficient.
Yeah, manual transmissions. In fact, they used to put them in all the base models, and that's where they'd get their older EPA numbers from, was from the manual transmissions as opposed to the 3 and 4-speed automatics they had available at the time.
And then over time, what happened, of course, was that automatic transmissions not only became more fuel efficient, a lot more fuel efficient, they also became quicker.
Yes.
So if you want a performance car and you really want to get the most out of it on a track or on the road, you get an automatic. It just does better, especially now that you've got, in this thing, 10 speeds. Doesn't mean it's more fun, doesn't mean it's more engaging, but it certainly is quicker, especially in a straight line, and it certainly is more fuel efficient.
It is more fuel efficient. However, real men drive the Honda, which only comes with a manual transmission, And we all know that that's more fun. But and there, at the end of the day, fun is part of the deal.
Sure. Except when you want your wife to move it out of the garage because you have to get the snowblower out and your wife doesn't know how to drive a manual.
Okay.
Which mine does, by the way.
But mine drives one every day. She loves manual transmissions. However, it is fair to say that you may have somebody in the family, or a cameraman in this case, who is too lazy to learn how to drive a damn manual transmission. Not that I'm making fun of Cole behind the camera, by the way. Thank you, Cole, for all your hard work. The bottom line is that between 4 and 5% of autos that are currently for sale in the United States come with a manual transmission as an option. That's not great, but it actually has gone up slightly. It was like 4%, then it went to like 4.2%, and now it's at like 4.7%. And part of the reason why is some automakers like Mini brought back the manual transmission option on some of their vehicles. Also, Honda, Mazda, Subaru, and Mini, right off the bat, are, I believe, the only three that have more than one manual option available on cars. So like Mazda, you can get the front wheel drive, obviously. Mazda 3 with the manual transmission, like Zach's, or of course the Miata with the, you know, so that's what I'm saying in terms of more than one vehicle.
So there's a couple other things we should talk about with manuals versus automatics. Three more things, all right?
Okay.
I'll go down the list and you guys decide, you know, where you, so that old Mustang we have, the California Special, which I love, by the way, I haven't driven it because it's been so crappy. We've gotten so much snow this year that it's been like one snowstorm after another. I can't wait to get that out and we'll do more videos with it. Coming soon, ladies and gentlemen. But old vehicles, the manuals like that Mustang is worth more than the automatic. And that's partially due to the fact that they're just more engaging and more fun to drive.
Agreed.
And the automatics are just, you know, three speed, slush box, crappy things that you know, can't shift to get out of their own way. However, this vehicle, and I'll give you an example of that. When we went to trade in our 2014 Mustang GT for this one, what I immediately found out was that when I was talking to the manager of the Ford dealership, Brighton Ford, who helped us get this, by the way, the first question he asked me was, is it an automatic or manual? And you could just see it on his face that if I had said manual, he'd be like, hey, you know what I mean? Because from a resale point of view, on a newer vehicle, you're going to sell the automatic much quicker than you will a manual.
I'd say in most cases, you're absolutely right. And that's partially because most people out there can't even drive a manual transmission. As a matter of fact, the joke is that the millennial, the way of preventing millennial car theft on a vehicle is to have a manual transmission.
Yeah, let's just steal your car because they're going
to be but there's a funny irony to that, which is it's partially true. There have been videos out there on YouTube where people get carjacked and the guy jumps in the car, usually a guy, and they can't get it going more than 5 feet because they can't drive a stick. And it's pretty damn funny and also scary at the same time.
Right. So a couple of years ago, as you recall, we bought a Hellcat.
Yep.
And we bought it with the 8-speed automatic. Now, the Hellcat, of course, as you know, has 707 horsepower. And I would say that anything above 500 horsepower, get the automatic because the manual becomes almost undrivable.
And I would disagree with Roman because I think that the manual gives you the hairiest chest on the planet. I actually regrew hair when I drew a manual version
of they'll have to shave that chest when you wrap it around a tree because the car is so undrivable.
It's hard to drive, I admit, but it is also so much fun. It was a pistol grip style manual transmission handle, which I loved. And the engagement wasn't the best. It was okay. It was okay. Anyway, and same with the, you can get it with the Camaro, the ZL1 package, manual transmission and that thing was just a beast. But
undrivable.
Some people prefer it and some people don't. And then there's other people who have to take the Geritol before they drive a manual transmission.
No, there's other people who don't like shifting into fifth gear, going sideways down the road.
It's awesome. And
anything, you know, that isn't just a mere breath on the accelerator once you shift into fifth gear. You do not want to spin your tires at 105 miles an hour.
Yes.
That is not a good look and it is not something that is enjoyable. That's a butt clencher of a moment. And more than that, the car is slower, so it's hard to have a manual, right? That is slower than the automatic version.
You know, it's a funny thing you mentioned that, actually. You know, something very interesting happened. Remember we were just talking about the Elantra N? We had an autocross circuit that was at the event we were at, and I got a chance to drive it real quick. And so all these journalists, and one thing about journalists, when you get them together on autocross circuit is that it's a pissing contest. They all want to get the best time, and they want to brag, and I totally get it. Jamie Kittman was there, which I'm still afraid to talk to. And other
a writer for Automobile Magazine for a long time.
Yeah, one of the best automotive writers in history, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, so all these journalists are there, they're wearing racing shoes, and you know, some of these guys are former race car drivers. And the fastest times around that track were in the manual transmission version of the car. Why? Because mostly you just leave it into second gear once you get a proper launch.
What car was this?
This is the Elantra N, which has either the 8-speed dual clutch.
I said over 500 horsepower.
I know, but just giving you an example here. And then having the manual transmission. So, stand by. So, they went around the track. Everybody who really knew what they were doing were they way faster at the manual transmission. So I decided to ask a couple of the guys, like, you know, but if it's like a super-powered car, a supercar, none of these cars have manual transmissions anymore. And all of them said the same damn thing. All of them. Sales. It's not a question of control of the power. It's sales.
All right, let me ask you this, my friend. If manuals are fast around a track, how many race cars are manual? Name Formula One car. Not a single manual.
NASCAR.
NASCARs aren't manual.
Yeah, they're manual.
You sure they're manual?
I think they're manual.
Okay, it's been a long time since I've been to a NASCAR race, but let's face it, a NASCAR, you put it in top gear and you keep it there. I think you shift it once, and that is when you get...
Tom Cruise shifted it 50 times in Days of Thunder.
Yeah, I think that doesn't count. Yeah. I think you shift it up once and down once, and that's it. Because when you're flying around the track at 200 miles an hour, you're not shifting it into third or second or first. You're keeping it in its highest gear. All right, enough of the manual versus automatic. Let's talk about, before we wrap this up, let's talk about the different versions of the Civic, right? Because there are a lot of different versions of this.
Yeah, the Civic is one of those vehicles that's a bit of a chameleon because it has just about something for everybody. And same with the Toyota. This is where it faces off with the Corolla because they have a really high-end, hot, full-on
this one
performance version, all the way down to the absolute base model entry-level one.
Yeah.
Now I believe
like 25,000 all the way up to 50,000.
That's exactly about where I was going to hit with that price. There are more options available with the Toyota than the Honda, because I believe the Toyota, you can get a hybrid. I don't think the Civic has a hybrid available currently.
I don't think so either. But it could be wrong. Let us know in the comments.
And also all-wheel drive, of course, and all that. So there's a lot of other options available with the Corolla. However, I will say this, that with the exception of maybe the GR and perhaps the hybrid, if you're like someone who needs to drive it daily and get really cheap MPG, I think that the Civic is a better daily driver, even from base model on up, if you were to compare it directly to all the Corolla models that are out there. This car was really well put together in my mind, but some people don't like the turbocharged, I think it's the 1.4 liter that's on the base models of this.
1.5.
Is it 1.5?
I'm pretty sure.
People say like there's oil consumption issues and stuff like that. I've never seen it personally. But I will say that I do like the way they put together the Civic. Between the two of them, with all the options that are available, I think the Civic is just a really good example of how good a car can be nowadays for the price.
And of course, the just right one is the SI.
So the SI is fantastic.
So
I love it.
You don't have those, very high bolstered seats.
No, but they're still sportier seats. The interior is very simple. There's not too much glitz to it, and I love the engine.
And if
love
you driving want, it. And if you want a little bit of luxury with your little sedan, sports sedan.
You get the Acura.
Yeah, get the Integra, exactly.
Yeah, and that Acura is great. It does everything that the SI does, but it has a much nicer, more comfortable interior that's quieter.
Right, before I ask you which one you would buy, let's go back here for a second, Cole. And just a quick word, we just bought a Cybertruck, so we are going to be selling Blueberry.
Yeah, so for those of you who are listening, we're now back at our new Tacoma.
We've got 6,000 miles on it. It's the TRD Off-Road, which is the one that people seem to want. Online, if you look for these, dealers are asking for $5,000 over sticker, so they're around $50,000. We bought ours for $45,000 plus tax, obviously. And we put a Go Fast camper on it that's worth about $10,000. So if you want it as is, we're going to sell it to you we're trying to get $50,000.
Yeah.
So we're giving you a substantial discount off the camper and off the truck. If you just want the truck, $43,000, which I think is one of the cheaper Toyota Tacomas in the country.
Yep.
If you're interested, shoot us a Email asktfltruck.com.
And we're not wheeling and dealing. I want to put that out there right now. So we're not going to negotiate.
Yeah, we did a video with this, and everybody wanted to get it for like $30,000. If you want to go get yourself a $30,000 Tacoma,
good luck.
I don't know where you're going
to
find it.
Yeah, and we're not making any profit off this thing. We don't flip cars like that. We're just doing it. We're selling this so we can actually pay for half of the damn Cybertruck.
And it was funny because the people that emailed us were like, did you know that when you take it off the lot, 10% of the value of the vehicle...
Which is utterly crap.
Which may be true if you're buying an electric Mach-E, I don't know, a Lightning.
It's 20% if you buy one of these, which is a Renegade. Yeah.
But guys, the Tacoma has the highest resale value of any vehicle ever.
Pretty much.
These things don't depreciate. So if you're out there, and I'm talking to you, Ron, and you think that just because you drive a Tacoma off the lot, it's worth 10% more, it's not the reality that we're living in. Look at the car, not what the average is.
Yeah, and we're not going to negotiate on this. There'll be plenty of people who will buy
it. Yeah, or we'll keep it. If worst comes to worst, we'll keep it. I love this truck. You know, it's been...
Yeah, you really have grown attached to it. Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to keep this truck. I would love to go camping with it. But because we just spent $100,000 on a Cybertruck, we have to pay for that. And so that's why we're selling it instead of keeping it. Now, I asked you, Nathan, a simple question. If it were your money...
Civic.
Mustang.
Nope.
Yeah.
I get it.
I'll tell you why. You tell me why.
Okay. You go first.
This vehicle, because of the V8 and because of the
sound.
It's
a fantastic V8.
And because of the comfort, makes me so happy to drive it. You know, I'm at a point in my life where I don't need to shout, you know, I'm a race car driver. What I want is something that I can get into, I can be comfortable, that has just oodles of torque, sounds better than anything else on the road, because this is loud without being obnoxiously loud. I know you can argue that cars have gotten much louder.
No, it's just funny that you've already contradicted yourself, but keep going.
Why do I contradict myself?
Because you just said, you know, it's not shouting that it's, and yet it shouts.
You see what I mean? But you can turn that down, right? You can.
It's still pretty damn loud when you accelerate. Okay,
even in its quietest.
Look, I'm not putting you down though, because I love the exhaust note.
Right, I'm giving you that.
Okay.
And I'm also kind of, you know, feel like we're at the end of an era, and I know that that's changing because there's become a pushback on going electric, but there hasn't necessarily been any new muscle cars that have been announced. So maybe there'll be new ones. I'm not sure, but as far as I know,
we expect something from Dodge.
Yeah, but it's going to be a six-cylinder Hurricane.
Yeah, I know. And it's not going to sound like this, and it's not going to drive like that.
It's not going to be a V8.
No, I agree. It won't be.
So to me, this is the last of the breed. I know there's a dark horse version of it. There's also a performance version. So this is not the performance version. Around a turn, this is pretty weak sauce. The performance version is much better. It's much more buttoned down. But once again, I'm not buying this to go around a corner. I'm buying it to cruise. And for me, there's nothing more fun than just cruising around with that glorious V8 barking out the back.
I'm not going to disagree with you at all. It's a wonderful car. However, because my brain cells are still working together in conjunction, they understand that it is important to have a vehicle that you can actually drive daily and use. So,
dude, I'd love to see you run errands in that.
I think it'd be easier to run errands in this than that.
No, it wouldn't.
Yes, it would.
Oh, for fuck's sake, sit down. I made you sit in the back. Now sit in the front, please.
You guys are going to have to edit that part. Don't forget.
Please sit in the front now. You're going to run errands. You're going to have to get in and out of this thing.
Did
like
I mention that
times.
I was going to replace the front seat? I can get in easier than you because I'm not as tall as you.
And how comfy is that?
It's not. No, the comfort's not too bad, except for down here, because I sit splay.
The side bolster is digging into the bottom of your
which
thigh.
Which is why I would replace the seats. Everything else about this car is great. I don't like the seats, I admit. But just like you with the exhaust, about not shouting, okay? But this car it's more efficient.
No, get out.
Out's easier than in for me. Once again, because I don't want my lower body, testes, to hit that thing, which they will. I like driving this better. That's the bottom. I do. I really do.
I love the way this thing handles. This thing loves to dance, dude. It makes me really happy.
Yep.
But getting in and out of it and just sitting in that seat is...
And also, I can put real passengers in the back. Only two, but they're more comfortable than they would be in that. And I still have kids. You don't.
Yeah.
I mean, Tommy's a man now.
One's not in college. One's in college.
Yeah, well, one's in high school still, and he's... You know, and I got dogs, big dogs, and stuff like that. Really? I need room for
stuff. I have
big
dog, too.
You have a big dog.
I have one big dog.
I have two big dogs.
You have two big dogs.
And a small thing. So the point is that this makes more sense for
you're
me.
You're really stretching.
Nah, No, I really would buy this over that Mustang, but only slightly. I mean, the Mustang, if I was just able to retire old man style, where I could drive back and forth, let's say from Los Angeles to Vegas, you know, on a weekend, the Mustang all day long. That thing would be perfect.
Look, there is a little bit of old man width around the Mustang, but I'll leave that to the Corvette. I think the Corvette's got that kind of sewn up.
Corvette is just a whole different thing.
Right, this is the thing about this is, you know, there are a lot of used Mustangs in the market, and there are a lot of, like, under 20-year-olds driving them. So yeah. that keeps the old man, you know, sent off the thing. The problem with this is there might be, or there would be, a lot of under 20-year-olds driving it, but the insurance would kill them and the cost would kill them.
So yes and yes.
And then I mean, this probably depreciates more than that, because that is a little bit more rare.
Yeah, I don't think they build anywhere near as many of these as they do those.
So even the previous generation, you're probably going to get a lot of guys that you know, do the same thing they do to this, which is they hoon them, right? That exhaust isn't good enough, you know, you got to get that coffee can exhaust on.
Yeah,
there.
I know, which destroys cars as far as I'm concerned. Look, they're both great, but if it were my money, I really like the Type R. I like the previous one quite a bit as well.
No, if you're going to go on the track, take the Type R.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Or go on a mountain pass. And between the mountains here, the mountains in California, where I've driven these things, I just absolutely adore them. I truly, truly do. The Mustang is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. Once again, I think that particular one, driving back and forth, you know, the track is great. But this is where I want to drive it on the track, is with this Type R, no doubt.
Fair enough. But when's the last time you were on a track? Not including.
I was just on the track. I was on Charlotte.
Not including program where you actually took a car. Me and you don't go. We don't go.
We don't do that much anymore because we're old and we're busy doing this damn racket. So. We can't just go to the track as easy.
I'll leave that to every man driver. I'll leave that to Paul and Todd. They can go around.
Paul and Todd, yeah. They'll actually, but you know, Todd's got the perfect head of hair, so he can do whatever he wants. I'm still envious of his. No. Paul's lucky.
Yeah. It's a little bit like this.
Just a shout out to our friends over there. Yeah. Sorry, guys. I wasn't trying to throw them under the bus. Anyway.
Hooked on driving.
Both vehicles are great. But if it was my money, it would slightly edge towards the Honda. This is my own personal opinion.
And this was our money, company money, and we got the Mustang.
Yeah, we did. And we also got a Cybertruck, so help us, please.
Yes. Well, guys, thank you for joining us. We hope you like this podcast/video. As always, go to alltfl.com if you want to see all of our everyday and every man, every woman.
No, we're not going to.
Reviews.
Sorry, guys. Sorry, Todd.
I'm getting a little slap happy now. We'll see you guys next time. Ciao.
See ya.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.